Dear friends, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from Isaiah chapter 49. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Let mountains burst forth with shouts of joy, because the Lord is comforting his people and he is showing mercy to his afflicted ones. But Zion said, "The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me." Can a woman forget her nursing child and not show mercy to the son from her womb? Even if these women could forget, I will never forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are never out of my sight. Your children are hurrying back. Those who destroyed and devastated you will depart from you. Lift up your eyes all around and see. All of them are gathered. They are coming to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, all of them are like jewelry that you will put on. You will wear them like a bride. This is the text. Dear friends in Jesus, Grandma Bodie's hands are 91 in this picture. She raised 7 children with those hands, lost one of them young. She knitted countless things. She quilted over 100 quilts that she started when she was 65 with those hands. She hugged with those hands. She embraced. She received 1 wedding ring with those hands, and Grandpa outlasted her just less than a year. And that was 10 years ago. She wrote letters to us in college and signed them with those hands. She baked dinner rolls, fabled dinner rolls with those hands, and some tasty pies. Those hands are special. They're important. They have a lot of memories. Think about your mother's hands. Picture them. Or your grandmother's, or your wife's, or your mother figure's. Think about those hands and consider the memories bound up in those hands. Caring, supporting, helping, serving God by serving you. I bet those hands have memories that your mother couldn't even begin to describe to you. And I bet you have memories about those hands that you couldn't even begin to describe to her. Very special. Those hands are unforgettably mom. Now think about the hands that last from generation to generation. Divine hands that have guided not only families, but all of history. Especially one family that culminated in the birth of a Savior for all the world. Think about the memories in those hands. The hands of God. The hands that are unforgettably God. We often talk about His right hand when we refer to His omnipresent power. And where Jesus is now seated. We'll talk about that next week a little bit on Ascension Sunday. Just think about what God has memorized. For one thing, you. God has you memorized. Even better than a mother. God has a memory that's better than hers, and He's inscribed those memories on His hands. That's what Isaiah says today to us in our text. And he starts out by doing something that Isaiah always seems to do. He calls on the mountains, the hills, the plains, the trees to start shouting. Loud noises, he says. Everyone in creation, everyone in nature, it's time to make loud, big noises to praise our God. And you say, what's going on here? Does Isaiah not understand the science? Doesn't he understand that hills and trees and mountains and rocks, they don't have ears, let alone hands to clap or voices to raise? Was he kind of Aristotelian, like he thought there was an animus or a spirit inside of these inanimate objects? No, he wasn't like Aristotle, and he probably didn't know a lot of the science that we do, but he wasn't mixed up in some kind of idea that the grass and the plains and things would join in some kind of song that he had written. But I tell you, Isaiah knew creation and nature better than most philosophers and scientists, because he knew that creation and nature exists to praise God. There's no better reason to praise God than when he rescues his people and when he gives life and salvation freely to his people. And so what we have in these first couple of verses is Isaiah crescendoing. Each new Hebrew word is arranged in climactic order to shout, to burst with praise to God. And you'll never guess who breaks the harmony. It's just bizarre. When you read this, you wouldn't guess it unless you read the text, unless you heard from God's word. The one that breaks the harmony is Zion, God's own people. God's own people are not excited. The Lord has left me and forgotten me. Can you imagine that? God's children lament for their situation. Even after Isaiah's predicting the return from the exile, even after things are going well for them, Zion is making judgments according to the flesh. Zion is looking around God's people, the elect. They complain when they're afflicted. And I don't know if that's too different from us New Testament believers. We tend to complain to God. That's biblical at times. When we don't exactly know how to pray, that's mangled up in sin when things aren't going well. But you know what boggles my mind about myself and about all sinners is that we tend to complain and claim that God has left us and forgotten us when things are going well. Mothers, do you ever get that when you're looking out for the best for your children because you love them, and you're doing something that's going to help things go well for your child, and then there's nothing but complaints, kicking and screaming, or at least a cold shoulder? I think we all get that on some level, that when someone's looking out for our best, someone shows us they love us, we might not want to hear it. And then later on we claim that you left me, you abandoned me, and you forgot me. God, did you forget me? Did you forget me in my illness? Did you forget me in my loss? Did you leave me along with all the popular crowd and abandon me? Along with all of my family at times? When I was lonely, where were you, God? Did you go away? Is that what happened? Yet the Lord has an answer for Zion. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not show mercy to the son from her womb? Even if these women could forget, I will never forget you. I would claim that a woman's emotions can rise 1,000 times higher than other feelings. And I would suggest that the love of a mother can't forget her child. A mom's job is full-time. A mother would go through fire for her children. And that connection is permanent. It's tighter than a lot of bonds. I mean, if you carry a child for 9 months, if you were tender-hearted and showed compassion for this child for so long, it's just nearly impossible to forget about that. And you can name a woman to God, maybe a top 10 list of the most tender-hearted mothers in all the world. God is even more compassionate and tender-hearted. And here you see the Holy Spirit answering our emotions. The heart says, I'm forsaken. The Spirit says, I have mercy on you. The heart says, you left me. The Spirit says, I never left you. I'm always with you. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to hide from me. Psalm 139, where can I go from your Spirit? The heart says, you've forgotten me. The Spirit says, how can I forget the new creation that I planted in your heart when I created faith there? The heart says, I'm a weak sinner. The Spirit says, you are righteous by faith alone and a son or a daughter of the omnipotent Almighty God. In that wrestling match, we're put to the test. We're exercised and we are consoled by a motherly kind of love. Now, it's true. We pray our Father. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. And throughout the Bible, God's preferred pronoun is he, his, him. That's a fact. And yet, when God illustrates his love to us, when he demonstrates it to us, he shows how tightly knit it can possibly be. So he reaches for some of the most powerful love in all the world and shows us his love is a motherly kind of love. Even more. And we know it because he's proved it, because he's written it down for all the world to see. The verse goes on, look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You think about an inscription, something that was chiseled into stone, laid down on paper, and preserved for generation upon generation. In fact, that's exactly what the Bible is. Miraculously preserved through all kinds of turmoil, through all kinds of trial. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. No prophecy of scripture ever came about by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the proper interpretation of this is that God has written down his love for us. He has come to be one of us. He's died for us and lived again on our behalf. That's how inscribed his love is. But I like to push it further, because he talks about inscription on his hands. It's really hard. It's really hard not to think about how this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. When, from God's own powerful grace, his incredible love, the hands of Jesus were inscribed with his love for you when they were nailed to the cross. His hands hurt for you. He took on this painful mark, this print, in the palms of his hands on your behalf so he would never forget you. Do you think Jesus looks down at his hands and says, I forget, why did those scars happen to me? Why are these nail prints there? No, absolutely not. Every time Jesus looks at his hands, I guarantee you, he remembers the world that he died for. And every soul and every sin that he took away is now forgotten. That's how powerful the inscription is. You and I need to-do lists, don't we? You and I need to write things down, or maybe now put it in our phone with set an alarm with some kind of noise so that we remember things. God's not like that. God knows everything. He doesn't forget anything except for our sins, because he remembers the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So we're really not on his to-do list. We're on his list of accomplishments. We're on the truth, the record, the book of life. We're recorded in there by what Jesus has done. He made you personally. He rescued you from darkness. It's a highlight of his life because it hurt deep into his own hands. I call this God's indelible forgetlessness. My wife Ellie said, you can't put that in the sermon theme, God's indelible forgetlessness. I don't know what you just said. I thought it was clever, so we went with God has you memorized. But track me on this. God's memory of you can't be deleted. It's permanent, like an indelible marker. He is incapable of forgetting you. That's how he has you memorized. And so, as our text progresses, God uses his hands as walls. Walls protect. That's what buildings generally have. Right now, the walls are protecting us from getting a little wet, from things getting a little windy in here. I suppose these walls could protect us from warring tribes outside. That maybe is more of a bygone era, but maybe violence isn't altogether gone because sin still persists in this world. But God tells us, no, I've got some bigger walls for you. In the Bible, walls are made out of water, fire, and even salvation. Earlier on, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, God says, we have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. And I hope you think of yourself as part of a strong, mighty fortress. Not because we're physically gathered together in defense against the enemy, but the spiritual powers that are against us, we're defended by the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for us. Just a beautiful image of Jesus' salvation being our walls. Or in Zechariah 2, run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. You get it? He says there aren't going to be enough walls to contain. There's too many people in this special place, in this city of Zion. But then he goes on. He says, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. So you see, we're talking about invisible walls, but we're talking about the object of faith. Just like when the Hebrews crossed the Red Sea, there was a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other. And I suppose they might have looked up at those walls and thought, I hope none of that spills over or starts to crack because there's nothing that looks like it's holding back. But they made it through and the Lord kept those walls up. And by faith alone, the walls God has for you are similar. Our enemies might point to our walls and say, you've got nothing. There are no walls for God's people. But our walls are transcendent. They're invisible. They're also immovable. Because our walls are the hands of God. Grandma's hands. In this picture, they remind me of a lot of things. They also make me a little sad. Because towards the end of her life, at 91, you can see how the knuckles have swollen with the arthritis and the fingers are curved a little bit. I also think about the things she forgot in her old age. Sometimes she forgot what she had eaten that day. Sometimes she forgot why she was in this assisted living place. Sometimes she forgot how I was related to her. And that was a bit frustrating at times. But although sin took its toll on her, I'm comforted to know that never once did God forget her. Never once did God withdraw his saving arm from her. Never once did the marks on God's hands lose its powerful reminder of what God did for her. He had her memorized, even when her memory failed. And now in glory, there's nothing wrong with her memory. So also God has you memorized. His memory will never fail, even when we do. And our good shepherd will always follow, though we may wander. So go back to his word and sacraments and trust this God who has you memorized. He has you memorized so well, he knows what you need. He knows you need to think about your baptismal promises from time to time and to continue to drown your sins in those waters along with the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He knows you need spiritual food. He knows you need the food of his word. That's where faith comes from, hearing the message. And he knows you need his true body and true blood under the bread and wine in Holy Communion. Because even when we forget, God has us memorized. In Jesus' name, amen.